Thank you. You spoke the other day about holding anger and emotions like that in a tender way. Could you speak a little bit more about that?
Holding anger like a mother holding the baby, because loving kindness is us, but anger is also us.
Also us.
So one part of us taking good care of another part. Anger is a kind of energy that comes from ourselves. And loving kindness or mindfulness is also another kind of energy. And that is why we should know that every time the energy of anger is there, we should invite the energy of mindfulness to be there in order to take care of anger.
And the vehicle to do that could be just three breaths.
Yeah, mindful breathing,
Mindful breathing.
and it's better that we nourish mindfulness by continuous breathing mindfully.
If you are continuously breathing mindfully, then you wouldn't experience that other energy as solid, like anger.
When you breathe mindfully, you are not ignoring anger. In fact, you are mindful also of your anger. You are practically taking care of your anger. Breathing in, I know I am angry. Breathing out, I am taking good care of my anger. Therefore, the practice is called mindfulness of anger. Mindfulness of breathing, and breathing in order to be aware of your anger and to embrace your anger with the energy of mindfulness. And if we continue like that for some time, there will be a transformation in the heart of the anger. It's like the sunshine with the flower. In the morning, the flowers are not open yet, but the sunshine continue to visit, to shine upon the flower. And the sunshine is not only circulating around the flower, it is penetrating deeply into the flowers. And then if the sunshine continue like that for a few hours, and then the flower has to open herself to the sunshine. Our anger is a kind of flower that needs the care of the sunshine, namely mindfulness.
Many people who are activists whose heart hurts because of the pain of injustice or pain to the environment often say to me that the attempt to be mindful of one's anger and hold it tenderly will dissipate the energy of the anger that they use for social action. Would you talk about that issue?
The energy of anger may be a source of energy, but when you use anger as energy, there may be danger. Because when you are angry, you are not lucid. You may say things, or you may do things that can be very destructive. That is why it's better to use other forms of energy, like the energy of compassion, the energy of understanding. But the energy of anger can be transformed into the energy of understanding and of compassion. We don't have to throw away anything. We need only to know how to transform one form of energy into another.
There is such a an overriding use of the energy of the intellect in this culture among political people or business people, and so little appreciation or respect, but appreciation for mindfulness, for the reflective mind. What are the key, what are the vehicles for awakening that kind of valuing of mindfulness into a culture?
The intellect is not everything of our being. Sometimes people understand what is going on and what should be done, and yet they don't act as if they have understood. Therefore, we have to practice so that that kind of understanding become a reality and not just a few notions in our mind. For instance, the reality of impermanence. It's easy to get people to agree that things are impermanent. They may understand it completely, but they act as if things are permanent.
Including themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if they are able to keep alive the insight of impermanence in them, and then they would not do the things that will destroy themselves and destroy the other people. They would do whatever they can do in order to make happy themselves and the other person. Like many people cry and suffer when the person they love disappear or left them.
Sure.
But while they are still alive, they were still alive and live close to them,
they
did not
treasure.
No. They did not do what should have been done in order to make that person happy. So the insight of impermanence should be nourished in our daily life. And that is why we need, we do not need impermanence as a notion, but as a samadhi, a concentration. You live your daily life in such a way that the insight of impermanence is there always with you.
That's partly because of being in the present moment.
Yes.
In which each thing then, it's a new moment, and a new moment, and a new moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you are mindful, you touch deeply which is there and who is there, because mindfulness is the capacity of being there in the present moment. And once you are there, you live deeply that moment of your life, and then you can see deeply into the heart of the reality of what is there, including the nature of impermanence, the nature of interbeing, the nature of non-self.
That's interesting about anatta, because about non-self, that feels to me to be a very rarefied experience, for that gets at the mystic end of the continuum. I mean, interbeing still allows for entities, for it doesn't require the surrender of separateness. And I'm wondering whether you gear the way in which you communicate. I mean, anicca is much easier to communicate than anatta, it seems to me.